Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the jackiewoods.org website. Each week at 3, we take an inward journey together to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence, those qualities that say who you are. By listening to your heart speak daily, you can align your thinking, your feeling, and your doing with your spirit. It's by letting your heart matter that you will be able to live from the inside out. And each week we have a heart energy that comes up in your email, if you've signed up for it, with a little saying. And this week it's spontaneity. And the saying is, spontaneity is always willing to be a lit sparkler. Now, don't laugh at that, Russ. I like that a lot. And so we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about the difference between spontaneity and creativity a little bit, too, because we sometimes confuse the two. You know, when I was thinking about this and trying to come up with some examples of me and spontaneity is a big energy for me. And Terry was recommending that I just talk about what it's like to be what I call a mental spiritual. And if you've listened to our CD or workshop on four-way mental communication, we have a CD and we have a workshop. It talks about the four communication styles. You know, there's the mental or the very linear logical thinking style, and then there is the mental emotional, where your thinking is centered on what is the feeling behind the words that really becomes your subject. And then there is the mental physical, where you, everything you're saying and hearing, you're thinking, how is it going to be done? It has the doing aspect to it. Well, a mental spiritual is the big picture. It takes one little piece and creatively adds a whole lot to it, which is creativity, is when you put together a lot of pieces. But it also creates a place for spontaneity to be birthed easily, because you can take one little piece and you can move with it, because spontaneity is expanding one piece where creativity is putting several together.
Mm-hmm.
And so a mental spiritual is just a birthing place for spontaneity, because we're looking at all these different ones and how to put them together, but we can also just take one and run with it. Being a mental spiritual is the very opposite of being attachment.
Uh-huh.
Because attachment is you want to keep everything the same, and a mental spiritual wants to change everything.
Right.
And part of that changing is taking one piece and letting it burst forth. That burst forth was my picture, actually, when we talk about meditating, and we do invite you to continue meditating. We've got this show and one more, and we really, really, really want you to continue meditating as you get your heart energy each week. That will not stop, and we meditate every morning, but if you meditated with us every Monday morning, from 6:30 to 7, our Eastern time, it creates a synergy, a powerful force of prayer and meditation across the planet. But when we meditate, and we've talked a lot about how to, we encourage you to, yes, listen to your heart, get quiet in your body and your emotions and your mind so you can listen. But as you listen, listen to the words, but listen to the pictures that the right brain, that's the way the right brain hears the heart. And it has pictures. So my right brain picture this morning was the Dr. Seuss. Remember the Grinch who stole Christmas?
I watched it just yesterday.
Well, you know, his heart began to swell. And he realized that Christmas was inside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really my picture of spontaneity, that when one heart energy, whether it's the love that he felt, or whether it's kindness or compassion or generosity or loyalty or commitment or devotion or support or whatever, the quality of that heart energy. When it begins to swell so much that your heart bursts and you just no longer attached to anything old, but it just goes beyond all boundaries, that is spontaneity.
Hmm. That's a good image. My meditation brought me a different image. I was trying to get that right brain picture, and what came to me was being a little kid, being outside at night or dusk, and chasing around after fireflies. That if you want to catch a firefly in a jar, you can't just camp out in one spot. When you see the light, you got to just be ready to go over there and look for it. And maybe you catch the bug, or maybe you don't. But if another one goes off, then you got to go over there. You've just got to kind of follow the little lights wherever they spring up and be ready to jump on them and bring all your intensity to that moment. You can't just sit where you are and hope that something will come to you.
Yeah. You know, after I meditated during the morning, several images came to me. You know, that's a great one you just had with the fireflies. But a child, you just see them walking along, and all at once they just start skipping.
Uh-huh.
You know? Or you ever been behind somebody, and they're just kind of strolling along, and all at once, they just sort of start humming to themselves.
Leotard, leotard, something like that.
You know, all of those things. And nature does it, too. You know, it almost sometimes you say a flower's bursting with uh-huh. buds. It's like that. You uh-huh. know, they just burst forth. Yes.
The thing that I really loved about the firefly image, when I, you know, tried to bring more left brain logical understanding to it, was I could see that it was sort of a doorway, that spontaneity leads you and demands that you pull forth things like play and adventure and flexibility. I mean, you know, you can't be attached to one particular spot, or the firefly might not show up there. You've just got to be willing to change course because you saw one flash right next to you, and you just dive for that spot, and pretty soon it's a game, and you're jumping from place to place, and then it's a big adventure. It's getting dark, and you've got your screw top jar, and you're hunting for fireflies, and all of this comes out of that willingness to just chase the little light when it shows up.
Mm-hmm. And mine was an expansion, the swelling of the heart, which can start with love or any energy. But as you expand energies and burst forth from your attachment to that energy looking a certain way or just having certain qualities, it starts adding qualities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because any energy that expands, heart energy that expands, adds qualities. So they tie together very well. You know, I was trying to think, well, what CD goes with this? And I thought, well, I mentioned four-way mental communication, but that really isn't spontaneity, unless you're a mental spiritual and want to know more about yourself, or your partner is, mm-hmm. you want to know more about your partner. And I thought about the one we have, your relationship with nature.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, nature has a lot of spontaneity and inspires spontaneity in people. In fact, one of the baby steps that I talked about, and I'm jumping all over, but was to take a meditation walk where you're just letting your heart connect with nature and letting nature just expand you,
mm-hmm.
sort of like the Dr. Seuss's Grinch did when he looked down and saw the people having Christmas without all their presents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kind of went in a different direction with it. As I was thinking about that firefly image, a story came to me from my life that kind of matched up with that. I remember being in, second grade or something like that. I was about seven or eight. And I went to Sunday school one Sunday. and they were short-staffed. You know, there's supposed to be a teacher in every room with every age group, and somebody had been sick or something, so our teacher got us going on this little craft project and then went down the hall to check on some younger age kids and, you know, left unattended. We veered off the track of whatever we were supposed to be doing. And we had all this construction paper and scissors and stuff in front of us. And one of my friends there said, you know, have you ever made paper helicopters? I was like, no, what are they? And so he showed me this trick. And if you're a kid, you've probably done this. You just cut a strip of paper and make a little snip in it and bend the blades down so you've got a little helicopter. And we were on a third story window. So we opened the window and we're dropping these little paper helicopters down to the ground. And the other kids in the class got into this, and it became this paper helicopter tournament extravaganza. I mean, by the time the teacher got back, like 40 minutes later, we had literally dropped 100 or so
of these. It was probably 10 minutes later, but.
Paper helicopters. And everybody had taken to, you know, custom designing them with magic markers. They had all sorts of little flames and stuff on them, and we were racing them. And this was, you know, we went to a church in one of the older sections of town that had sort of been torn apart by that white flight phenomena, where it used to be a white section of town and now a lot of poor black families live there and a few white people still. And so there was a lot of racial tension in that area. This is back in the 70s. And not all the kids in the class got along very well. And but in this one moment, this spontaneous moment of, hey, let's do this, it snuck up on people, you know. It pulled before they could get their defenses up, they were involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it was once again that feeling of, this is a doorway to something. It sort of created this synergy amongst us, and it pulled out all the creativity and the beauty and the design and I don't know what that craft work sort of thing is, but the attention to detail, maybe focus, I guess it was, that these people had. It just brought all of that out before they had a chance to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to like those people. And, you know, it was so fast, that spontaneity just blows up in the moment before you can get your defenses up, and it's pulled all these heart qualities to it. And so I saw it as a magical thing, that if you can be in that spontaneity, you can pull a lot of your gifts and other people's gifts to the surface before they get back into their regular mindset of, I don't do this, I'm not good at that, I'm not going to go there.
Mm-hmm. Which is the mental spiritual, which is the opposite of attachment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we do get attached. We get really attached to, and we block spontaneity. Well, this is how it has to be done, how it has to turn out, how it has to look. Even these are the energies that I do it in, and that's as far as it can go.
Mm-hmm.
And we block spontaneity a lot, whereas kids have it. But I see adults, the reason one of my baby steps was to take a meditation walk in nature is that I see people more free and more spontaneous in nature many times than they are in their structured world.
That's true. That's true.
I think it's time to mention one of our sponsors. It is close to Christmas, so you have that last-minute shopping to do, but you also are trying to decorate your tree, get what you have already purchased, wrapped, and everything ready for the kids' Christmas program, for everything.
Well, you know, for some of us, this is the first minute. And not
this
the last.
Is the first minute, not the last. It's my last minute. It's his first. So, we've made it easy. Just go green online to bountifulbuys.com, and you can buy your gifts. There's a huge selection of all kinds of things that you can look for and discover, and it will go easy on your wallet and at the same time easy on the planet, because These are gently used things that look like new, feel like new, but are gently, gently used. And so you're going to be able to go green and at the same time get your Christmas shopping done at bountifulbuys.com. Bountifulbuys.com. Write it down. We have an email from Janet in Columbia, South Carolina. Often we get so fixed in our picture of how things are and think they should always remain. Can you give an example of how spontaneity can work within a framework that seems closed? Good question, Janet. Do you want to start or do you want me to? I'll be glad to.
Why don't you start off with that one?
Okay. When a situation seems closed, it's usually because we have shut down our mind or our emotions or both. They've locked in together and we're just looking downward. And remember my little picture of the Grinch, how his heart's what swelled and got bigger that day and changed. When we're just looking at the situation and saying it is a problem. Mm-hmm. This is a problem that has to be fixed, changed, corrected. Then our mind gets busy and our emotions get all either overwhelmed or anxious or determined or whatever they get around that. And we're looking down. We're looking down. So in my picture today of spontaneity, the heart has to expand first. So look up.
Okay. I would answer that from a sort of mental perspective of sometimes we, and I guess it's a form of attachment too, but we make assumptions that recently my family and I were on a trip and we went by a place that sold little motor scooters, and my daughter said, "Oh, let's go in and look." And we looked, and she asked the man at the counter, "Do you rent any of these?" Because she wanted to take a ride, and he said, "No, I don't." But there was a guy, on the other side of town that did it. I don't know if he's still there or not. And he gave me directions. And in my mind, I thought, he's probably out of business, because several times before I had thought, that'd be a neat idea to take the kids, rent some motor scooters and drive around to Asheville, which is a town near us. And I had called several places and they just said, "No, we tried it for a while, but it's not very profitable. Not enough people rent it to make it worthwhile." And I kept getting that no answer. No, we don't do that anymore. No, it doesn't. We tried it. It didn't work. And I got that about four or five times. And I began to believe that any scooter place that rented them had probably gone out of business. And so she said, "Well, can we go check, Dad?" And I started to say, "No, we're not going to waste time with that." Because in my mind, I already knew, it's not going to happen. But we were on vacation, and just in the spontaneity of the moment, I said, "Okay, sure, 15 minutes, we'll drive over there." Well, sure enough, they still rented them, and we had a great time that day. We drove around for hours and hours on these scooters and just had a blast, but it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't stepped into that spontaneity piece, that the constant reinforcement of a negative begins to bend your mind and your emotions to a preconceived reality. And I think that's when it gets closed down.
That when your mind is looking down at that reality as the problem, it's stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You said, "Well, it might not work, but let's see." And you looked beyond it as a problem. It wasn't a problem. It was just a possibility. Mm-hmm. You changed it from a problem to a possibility. When you change to a possibility, then you're able to free your mind and your emotions from the fixed picture, and you go into a realm of energy that can bring you possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that etheric, intuitive, whatever you want to call it, realm if you're in astrology, it's that Neptunian energy. If you go into that realm, there's all kinds of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you're thinking there's only one way or there is a problem, you're looking down and you're stuck.
Yeah. Because of that experience, one of the baby steps that I wrote down for today to help people get into spontaneity is don't say no. Say, well, let's check it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get rid of that no word, mm-hmm. and say, okay, we'll see, you know, mm-hmm. not that I'm committing to it, but I'm at least going to investigate it. But if you instantly go to your mind or your emotions and say, well, in the past, has this been satisfying? No, it hasn't. Okay, well, then no. You know, if you just put up that no stop sign, that kills any chance of spontaneity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I didn't have this written down, but just to add to that from what I said, anything you see as a problem means you're looking down. Look
mm-hmm.
up.
That's yeah. good.
This email is from Diane in New York. In the past, spontaneity has gotten me into trouble because I would run off and do something while setting aside commitments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that as spontaneity, by the way. I see spontaneity as an expansion of the heart, not just an emotional sidetrack. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't totally agree with you on that, Diane. But as she said in her meditation, she saw a beautiful mountain view. At first, it made no sense, but what she said, what I saw is that if I hold a vision of who I am on as the mountain and my intended destination, then when I add spontaneity, it adds to the whole picture instead of distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just seeing herself and the situation is all one. It's another way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a sort of different perspective than what we've been saying, but it also fits.
Mm-hmm. It does. But I don't think, you know, a lot of people call spontaneity just letting themselves be free emotionally. And while a person does have a lot of exuberance when they're spontaneous,
uh-huh.
emotional exuberance, just being emotionally free is not the same thing as being heartfully expanded and willing to just let go of your attachment.
Yeah, the point that we've been going back to over and over again, you call it the looking up, you know, having your heart expand, and for me it was all about that doorway to other qualities being drawn in. That point rings through what she just said, that true spontaneity is when you are drawing on who you truly are and not just, you know, taking a mental tangent or an emotional tangent. It involves the heart essences and not just the lower bodies running amok. Because of that, my recommendation, you know, we always try and recommend several products that we sell on our website to help people with these energies. My recommendation today would be a CD that we did a while back. It's just a conversation with you called Creating a New Relationship Paradigm. And I chose it because it speaks specifically to that idea of starting over with who you are as opposed to what you want. That a lot of relationship clashes happen because both people are coming from a want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the times when we want to do something, so we go do it. And we call that spontaneity, but it's really just an emotional or mental tangent.
Yes.
So getting back to who you are and letting the spontaneity come from that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very good CD for helping establish that tool.
And I'll repeat that title. It's Creating a New Relationship Paradigm. Go to our Growth Resources section on the JackieWoods.org. These CDs, you know, they don't take that long to listen to. Some of them are really short, some are longer. But you can put them in your car, and every time you go, you can listen to a little bit. It'll change your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you like a shorter version, the CD, Creating a New Relationship Paradigm, is very, very special. If you like the workshop where you get a lot of input from a lot of different people, Expanding Your Reality would be a good workshop.
Yeah, that's another good one. I hadn't thought of that one.
So here we have an email from Bill in Orlando, Florida. I've associated spontaneity with people who change their mind a lot. I've always felt uncomfortable around people like this because I never know which end is up. How can I tell if someone is being the hard energy of spontaneity versus their inability to make a decision and stick to it? That's a very good point, Bill. And again, that kind of ties back into what we were talking about a minute ago in that whole concept that if we just, well, you know, we just go off on an emotional tangent, or I'm just tired of doing that, so I'm just going to do something else, or I don't like this book, so I'm just going to go read another one. That's what we've associated spontaneity with, and that ends up with people who change their mind a lot,
right?
Or indecisive people, and I feel uncomfortable around those people too.
Mm-hmm.
I understand your discomfort, but again, we don't need to know where they're coming from in their indecision to be spontaneous with them. Because if you are allowing yourself the freedom of your heart to expand, just knowing that what their heart is trying to bring to you, even though they're ignoring it, can help to boost that heart energy and put you, open that door to spontaneity. You might, in other words, have a whole new spontaneous way of interaction with them.
Mm-hmm. I had a experience in college. I went to Emory University in Atlanta, and there's another big school in Atlanta, the Georgia Institute of Technology. And I had a friend that I knew from outside of school. I think I worked with him at one point, that he went to Georgia Tech. And so I would go from our campus down to their campus sometimes to visit him. And he lived on a little house on the outskirts of that campus, and had several roommates, and they were all the time just doing crazy stuff just on the spur of the moment. And so I brought a friend of mine, and we went down there to visit Charles, his name was. And I said, "Hey, Charles, what's going on?" He said, "Well, we're going to hop in the car and drive down to Florida. We're going to Panama City Beach. You want to come?" And I thought, yeah, okay, sure. I've got nothing to do this weekend, because I had had several assignments, but I did them. The day they were assigned, I went to the library, I did them. And so I had the rest of the weekend free. And my friend, who was in several of the other classes that I was taking, he was in there with me. He had not done them, but he was one of those people that said, "Oh, whatever, you know, I'll just blow it off." And so he went too. So we both went along on this spontaneous trip, but from two different places.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing it just
to get away from studying.
I was doing it because I had done my studying and now I had the time free. And I had a great time. He was miserable the whole time because he was worried. On some level, you know, he was worried that we wouldn't get back in time and he wouldn't get anything done. And I realized that my structure, my commitment, my, you know, punctuality, my honoring my schedule and doing that stuff right away had allowed me the clear space to be spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was calling spontaneity was not heartful, was not enjoyable, was not even real for him. It was just an emotional escape mechanism, because he hadn't honored his schedule and his commitments.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another one of the baby steps that I came up with, is whatever you're committed to, do it right now. Don't let your schedule fill up with stuff that's just hanging around that you haven't done. Because true spontaneity is only going to come when you are honoring those pieces of commitment and structure and not the other way around.
When you have a space for it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. It's a very good point. Yeah. It's the other side of the coin from the people who just go along with anything or avoid everything, are the people who are so rigid. You know, there are those that just emotionally define and kind of don't have any structure but don't create a clear space for spontaneity either, are those that are so rigid in what they're doing and what their structure is, that there's no room for spontaneity either.
True.
So you have both sides of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being able to, as you say, do what your heart has given you to do efficiently and clearly and powerfully and promptly.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a space then to not just move away from the heart, but to expand the peace that you want to expand.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to talk about Theo Chocolates, T-H-E-O. And I got to visit their plant when I visited my son in Seattle. Theo is the only organic and fair trade certified chocolate maker in the U.S. They work together with farmers in perfecting the art of growing quality cocoa beans. As a fair trade company, Theo maintains the principle that the makers of the finest artesian chocolate in the world should support the world in an ethical and sustainable fashion. That is high quality.
Mm-hmm.
All the way through the company, and I felt it in the people that waited on us there. I felt that intent. Theo's small batch chocolate production is truly an art form because they steward their cocoa beans throughout the entire manufacturing process. So you get to enjoy not only delicious chocolate, but the healthiest chocolate on the market. And they have many, many flavors. We handle all of them in our store at Beneficial Foods. And they're a healthy chocolate and a delicious chocolate. So check out Theo Chocolates. This email is from Rue in Atlanta, Georgia. She says, I really related to what you said about nature. In my meditation, I saw a little girl walking with her mother along a grassy trail. The child was totally enthralled by a little flower she saw. Then she saw a bug in the grass, and that became her focus. Then a butterfly came by, and she shifted to the wonders of the butterfly. My vision of spontaneity. You want to comment on that? She kind of added on to what I said.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about nature that invites us. I guess it's the willingness to merge spiritually. Nature always holds out that open invitation to come and bring your heart, and it will be met and merged with. But that open attitude is so crucial. When we get people who may be living in that reality I described where you've already prejudged something as it's not going to work, or you've emotionally said, I don't want to go there or whatever, it's like hitting a wall, and it just kind of squishes whatever spontaneity might be inside of us.
Yes. Yes, and I think nature relaxes us. So and freeze our mind and our emotions and even our body so that we can actually have a space to look up, as I said, to expand the heart like the Grinch did. This email's from Bert in Tryon, North Carolina. Jackie, I'm currently trying to free negative energy and emotions from a fixed position, as you just mentioned. Could you expand on the tools and techniques beyond meditation and journaling that I might use to help me in this effort? That's a very honest question. Thank you, Bert. Freeing negative energy or negative emotions, which is negative energy, requires also that we erase pictures that have gotten attached to that emotion. When we have an emotion that locks in, that says this is how it ought to be, and it does, our picture doesn't work out that way, then we create a negative emotion. So to clear that space to look up that I've been talking about, you've got to clear that emotion. Then you have to clear the picture that was the emotion was attaching to, mm-hmm. so that your reality changes in all parts of you. You're willing to let something different happen in your physical world because you don't have that fixed mental picture or that negative emotion attached to it if you don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, if I don't get this, then I'm just going to feel bad. Well, if you just don't, if you're going to feel bad because you don't get it, then you have a fixed picture, a negative emotion, and there's no way you have clear access to the heart. So if the heart has to burst forth with new qualities and new expression, new possibilities to have spontaneity, then you're totally blocked from that when you're hanging on to any kind of negative energy.
The thing that came to me was when my kids were very little, you know, like 4 years old and 8 months old, or, you know, whatever, just one of them was a baby almost. I would get off work for lunch and I would come pick them up at the house. My wife had, I think she had a class at the Healing Center or something that she had to go to at a certain time, every other week or something like that. And I would come home from work, grab the kids, put them in the car, and we would go on a picnic. And I would have my lunch out and about with them instead of staying at home. And when you, if you have little kids, you know that it's a big deal to get in the car. There's bags that have to be packed, and did you put your sunscreen on, and let me help you into the car seat, and there's 16 buckles to it, and you know, it's a process that has to go smoothly, or your whole hour for lunch is pretty much gone before you even get to eating. So we were going through all that rigmarole, and we get down to the park and we're going to have a picnic, and it starts raining. I mean, not just dribble, but whoosh, the sky's just opened, and it's a deluge. And I said, well, you know, by the time we go somewhere else and find a place that's, you know, indoors, where our lunch hour is going to be over. So I was debating what to do, and my child, my youngest child, could barely talk at that point, said, Dad, can we still have the picnic? And I asked myself, well, yeah, what is a picnic? Is it about a picnic table? Is it about a certain location? Yeah, we can have the picnic. So we had an SUV, I think it was an old Jeep or something at that time, that had a big cargo compartment in the back. So we all climbed over the back seat, and we had our picnic in the back of the SUV. The kids loved it. We had a great time, you know, because there's the sheets of water just pouring over the windows. You can't see out. It's like being in a tent or something. It was like camping out in the yard, and they loved it. And for, I don't know, several years after that, they would occasionally say, you know, can we have a picnic in the car again? And none of it would have happened if I hadn't asked, yeah, why can't we do this?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my second baby step that I would recommend to people, is don't just expect spontaneity to come and grab you by the nose and say, here, get out of your mindset. Ask for it. Start asking, is it possible that something unexpected could happen here?
Mm-hmm. And to answer Bert's question for tools, one way to do that is to simply say, okay, I have a lot of upset around not getting my way around my picture. What are the energies that I want in that picture, like you did with the picnic, rather mm-hmm. than I want it to turn out a certain way?
Right.
And that can, you can change your focus to your changing on the energies. You know, we always recommend a book too, and I keep going back to my relationship book, Soulmate or Cellmate, because I talk about that so much, is trying to get past the problem to what is the heart? What are the qualities that we experience in this fixed picture that we're attached to, so we can come together around those qualities rather than around the physical action of what we've done to make that happen in the past.
Right.
Right. This email's from Mike at Lake Lure. I see spontaneity as the opposite of a habit, like being caught off guard and the true self comes out that lights the fire of curiousness, just like the sparkler you described. That's a nice picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Uh-huh. The opposite of habit. You know, I talk about attachments to our pictures and ideas, but we also just have habits. Not that they're even bad habits. They're not even a negative.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a habit, but we just sort of go through the motions and, again, forget to let our true self come out because it just becomes a routine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good picture. Do you want to add to that, Russell?
You know, my wife and I, long before we had kids, when we were living in Atlanta, we would try and go out every Friday night or Saturday night. We'd have a date night where we'd go out and go to a restaurant or occasionally a movie or hear music or something like that. But we had our favorite places. You know, there was certain restaurants that, you know, they knew us by name because we were there all the time. But you get tired of those places, and every once in a while we'd want to try something different. And maybe a friend had recommended a restaurant or something, and so what about that place? We'll go there. And occasionally you open up to that spontaneity, and you go, yeah, that's a great idea, let's go. And you get there, and, it's closed. They're not open on Tuesdays. We didn't call ahead. So we kept a list of places that we would want to try. We just had sort of a running list of possibilities. And then in those moments when we were, you know, sick of our habit and we said, hey, let's be spontaneous, then we'd pull on that list and go, what about that place we tried last month that was closed? And it gave us some options. Very often, if you try and break out of a habit, but you don't have any options, then you just go, I wanted to do something different, but I don't know what to do. And you just go back to your habit. So just maintaining a list of possibilities outside your habit, even if you like the habit, even if you go back to it and every other day you're eating at this same place, every once in a while you're going to want to step out of that. And if you don't have any possibilities, you'll have nowhere to step to. So just maintain a little list of possible things outside your habit.
But may I add to that whatever energy or quality of your heart is the subject or the prime reason for that habit, and you want to step out of it and you want to continue that energy, make sure that is still your focus.
Mm-hmm.
While you make your list, or what'll end up on your list will be things that really don't work when you get there.
Right.
So you have to be careful that it's not just changing and doing something different. Yeah. This email is from Laurel in Atlanta, Georgia. I love being spontaneous and just go do something for fun. When does it become an emotional feel-good or an excuse to run away versus actual spontaneity? How can I tell the difference before I do false spontaneity? I like the false spontaneity.
Pseudo-spontaneity,
yeah. And that's what a lot of people, I think the story you told about your friend, I'll go.
Mm-hmm.
But it really didn't fit in the structure of who that person was around what they'd created.
Right.
Their structure and who they were at that moment was a student that needed to study.
Right.
Yes, we have to be careful that we don't just go do something for fun, but that we do something to break out of a picture that still carries the energy that we want to carry.
Yeah, and I'm going to bounce back to that CD I mentioned earlier, the Creating a New Relationship Paradigm. It's about relationships, but one of the the prime tools that it walks you through in that CD is how to take a step back from what you want and start over with who you are around a particular situation. Mm-hmm. And I think we've circled around that several times, but that's the basis of spontaneity for me, is to really catch fire, to really be that powerful doorway to all different kinds of energies. You got to start with who you are. It can't be from, well, this is what I want or this is what I don't want. That's a deadly place to start your spontaneity from.
Yeah, well, this is what I want and what I don't want is simply an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And who you are in any moment is not just the energy of your heart, but how is it manifested? What is it created in your life?
Mm-hmm.
So you look at the whole script, just like the guy that needed to study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at that whole script of your life and say, does this fit for me at this time? And what is the subject, heart subject? And then the heart is never limited to one possibility.
True.
So when we're in that place, life is about spontaneous
mm-hmm.
expansion. It's the Grinch, again, with the expanding heart. All right, let's talk about one of our sponsors again. We have the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat right here at our Ottawahee Village. It's a wonderful place. It's beautiful. It's comforting. It's comfortable. And it offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast. Plus, while you're here, there are community events you can attend. There are 10 alternative healers if you want extra support in your health. It has walking trails. It has a fitness room. It is peaceful. It is heartful. We have a health food store where you can get food right there. It is a place of renewal, the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat, where retreat becomes renewal. And you can discover it at ottawahee.com. And while we're here thinking of gifts, it's a wonderful gift. It's a wonderful anniversary gift, a wonderful birthday gift, and make a great Christmas gift. Ottawahee.com, A-D-A-W-E-H-I, Ottawahee.com.
Or you could, you know, give yourself a gift and send the other people in your house away for the weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. This is from Julie Lake Lure. This is the other part of Mike. And they live in North Carolina, and they got snow last night.
Yep.
We didn't get
snow.
We
didn't get any.
No, we got flurries, but we didn't get snow. Julie says, my picture of spontaneity was a Christmas present. I didn't know what was in it. It could be anything. This was exciting and full of flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Not attached that she got a certain thing. Yes. And that's a good picture for this time of year.
And that's what I like about spontaneity. That's why I keep calling it a doorway, is that it can take, like my, you know, back of the Jeep picnic, you know, it can take a moment of adversity and turn it into an adventure. It can take a moment of, oh, I've got to change my plans, and turn it into a moment of flexibility and discovery. It has that magical capacity to shift our consciousness and get us from the problem to the possibility.
Yes, yes. It's a wonderful energy,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I just love spontaneity. We have our favorites. I know they're all very special and important, but we do have our favorites. But, you know, I had to look at this, too, because I've been looking at this. The ones that are my biggest, most favorite energies, I have to be careful that I don't compare and judge others that have them in small measure.
Mm-hmm.
Have to really be careful and not just see that person with no with a small spontaneity, no one is without, as just rigid and inflexible.
Yeah. Well, I'm a structured individual. I guess the downside of that is you could call me rigid in certain aspects.
I don't see structure. I see structure supporting spontaneity. I don't see it as taking away from it.
No, I don't either. But I'm saying that if anybody ever had the capacity to fall into rigid, I would be that person. I mean, I'm poised right there on the edge with my love of structure. And, you know, that's probably the downside of my personality. If I am going to err, it's going to be on the side of rigid instead of too lax. But I can remember as a child, you would say, you know, all right, we're going to totally change your room around this weekend. Because you love to do that as a mental spiritual. You love to move things around. And we're going to put that desk on the other side and we're going to move your bed under the window. Won't that be nice? And I'd be like, no, that wouldn't be nice. I want my room the same. Don't mess with it. And if you told me ahead of time, you know, all right, Saturday, right after you get home, you can go to your friend's house, but right after you get home at 2 o'clock, we're going to move your room around. I'd be dreading 2 o'clock. Oh, I got to go home and move my room around. Probably it won't be good the first time and she'll want to move it back several times. But if I came in the door and you were like, you know, I was thinking this desk would look good over here. Would you help me with that? And I'd be like, well, okay, you know. And I'd just get into it with you, and pretty soon we'd have the whole room moved around. If I got caught up in that spontaneous moment, it would take me out of my, rigid, stuck-in-the-mud place. But if it was planned and set and I knew that it was coming, I would have time to dread it and dig in my heels. And that, to me, is the magic of spontaneity, is that it grabs you quick before you can think in your old ways of thinking.
Yes, this happened to me actually yesterday. I went into the Institute. Somebody had left the lights on. It mm-hmm. was Sunday, and they had left the lights on. So I went in to turn off the lights. And while I was in there, I started looking around, and I thought, you know, we had added a beautiful big plant that someone had given us in one corner of the waiting room. And the greenery that had been in that corner, which was smaller than what was added, we put in the other corner, but it was next to another plant, and it just looked awful. It was just too full and bad. And I had been really focused a lot on beauty that day. And it was just like, ooh, something's not resonating as beauty. And I started looking around and realized it was that crowded corner. And I moved a smaller little plant in there, and I moved the big plant out, moved the furniture around, and no one probably even has ever noticed it today if they've been in there. But it was that bursting forth of beauty that, you know, it's been that way for months, mm-hmm. but I wasn't in the energy of beauty in that spot, and it wasn't just bursting to be expanded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Terry, did you notice? She noticed. Oh, how exciting.
And I noticed there's a new big plant over by the big windows.
Yes, I moved the big plant by the windows. There you go. That's so wonderful. She shared with me.
Ask her if she got excited about it.
Did you get excited about it? Well, that was asking a bit much for mental to get excited. That's too much. But anyway, she did notice. Awareness is a wonderful thing. Okay, this is from Teresa in Asheville, North Carolina. I saw a shopping mall this morning in my meditation. It was full of stores that sold only Heart Energy's alcohol. With every haul I turned down, more stores appeared. It felt like an adventure. I guess that's why I love to shop. I don't think so. I don't think it's probably the same reason. But that is a great picture. Mm-hmm. And to really see that when you have spontaneity, that going down, as you say, opening one door can open up to a lot of other energies.
Yeah.
It really goes along with what you were saying. Do you want to add anything to that?
I like the idea of all those heart qualities being out there available to you. I think that's, somebody earlier talked about being closed in, and that's what closed in is to me, is when when we forget or lose track of all that's available out there. I mean, the world really is just a big smorgasbord of heart energies for us. But when we get locked into, when I go to work, I express efficiency. When I come home, I express family. And, you know, we have a locked-in energy for every situation in our life. And it doesn't allow for us to experience anything different. You know, even if that day our heart is bursting forth going, I want to be creative, I want to be beautiful, I want to be loyal. Well, I'm sorry, there's no place for loyalty. This is work. It's about efficiency. You know, and we have that definition, that rigid picture that's tied to a particular expression. And spontaneity, if we can allow ourselves that bit of spontaneity, it can grab us before we have time to go, wait, this is work, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And, too bad, you're already there, you're doing it, you're being loyalty at work. What do you think about that?
Right. That's good. That's very good. This is from Randy in Charleston, South Carolina. Is it possible to not have a heart energy? Am I lacking if some heart energies are just not a part of my life? I think that builds on what you were talking about. It isn't possible to not, but it's possible to not acknowledge your heart.
Right.
And just get caught in your picture of how it's supposed to be and your emotion of what you want to have happen and how it should happen. And if you don't do it my way, I just won't play ball with you.
Right.
You know, it's definitely possible to block a heart energy, but the heart is always there. It is the creative force that keeps life alive. It is the creative force that is always at work in movement. I mean, the creative force itself, that God energy, is spontaneity. It is always the bursting forth of every heart energy, adding more and expanding it. And it's, so it's not possible to not have one, but it's possible to block the awareness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been talking about, how we get attached to life being a certain way, and or even just that we can only bring a certain energy, and we may be being heartful, but we're not being the fullness of the creative force that's flowing through and expanding that heart. It says, am I lacking if some heart energies are just not part of my life? Well, we block some heart energies from being part of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you said, we go to work, we think we have to be efficient. We maybe don't even take time for kindness
mm-hmm.
to come in. It's not going to block efficiency, it's just going to add to everything.
I worked for a while with a girl who had a huge piece of persistence. And
I know lots of those.
It was, she was such a master of it. She was so big in that one area that she kind of used it for everything. She just bowled her way through life with that persistence. She was like the ocean beating against the rocks and gradually wearing them down. She could create any outcome that she wanted eventually by just wearing it down. And because of that, a lot of situations that you could look at her and you could say, okay, this is your higher self, your spirit, your heart, whatever you want to call it. This is that part of you perfectly creating a situation that's just crying out for you to express a little more sensitivity. And she would just bowl through it with persistence. Okay, well, now this situation, this is tailor-made for partnership. Can't you see that? Your heart wants you to take a step into just stick a toe in partnership. Just try it out. This situation was made for that. And she would just bowl her way through with the persistence. And she became so in love with that energy she was big in that all these little things that her heart kept trying to get her to sample and grow a little bit more, she never even noticed. She'd just blow right through them. So I think your heart is always trying to get you to grow things that you may have only a minuscule amount of, and it will set up situations that are perfectly designed to get you to at least try that energy. But that doesn't mean you have to. You can still choose to bull your way through with your one or two or three favorite big qualities that you've always counted on.
Or pictures that have no qualities at all.
Right.
So that winds up our show for the day. Remember to let your heart matter, and we'll see you for our last show next Monday. Thank you.